proprietor of the garden takes you around to show you. And if you say, oh, it is all Mitya, it is all false, this is Maya, then how much depressed he becomes. Just see. I brought this friend to show the beauty of this garden, and he says, it's Mitya, it's false. Similarly, we don't want to depress Krishna. Prabhupada laughs. That is not our business. Krishna has created this nice world. Everything is very nice. The sun is rising just in exact time. It is setting in exact time. The moon is rising. The seasons are changing. And we are getting nice food, nice fruit, nice flowers. So we are not so depressing. I mean to say, we are not a depressing agent. We won't discourage Krishna. Why? Krishna has created this nice world. How can I say it is Mitya? So with this understanding, the devotee will meditate about Krishna's presence in this world. He has created everything. It is his energy, and in some ways the energetic source is absolutely present in the manifestation of that energy. So with this understanding, Prabhupada would always tell people who would come to him and ask him to show them God, well, have you drunk water? Yes, they said. Next time you drink water, think I am Krishna is the taste in water. I saw Prabhupada even in Stockholm saying to a bunch of about 50 drunkards, even if you are drunkard, you can become a great yogi by meditating that the taste in the liquor, that is Krishna. You may say, but Guru Maharaj, what's about war? What's about COVID? What's about scandals? What's about the new interview of the president? Wasn't that slimy and fishy? Yes, but where do you focus your attention on? There are many wonderful things, like for instance, these flowers, which are spreading a fragrance. There are many good people in this world. There are many good things to see as you go and travel through this world. You will see. It's not like the newspapers present the picture. So this is the first thing. I must tell you, I woke one day up in Krishna consciousness and said, where has the God of my childhood gone? The one whom I would see every, with whom I would talk, who was walking with me through the fields. Have I hidden him in a complex network of arguments and thoughts and philosophical concepts? Yes. The second way, which is very nicely expressed in the songs of the Goswamis, these renunciants who form the theological basis, a lot of that philosophical basis, is in their song, He Brat He Braja Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kuta Shigovanana Kalpapa Tapatale Kalindivane Kuta. O Queen of Vrindavan, who? Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? And the devotee who is interested like this, you go look for traces, spuren of Krishna, footsteps of Krishna, indications of Krishna, as they are given in sacred literature that guides us in our practical meditation about Krishna. his pastimes and his mind enchanting laughter, his playfulness, where he always has the greatest of surprises ready. So in between these meditations for the person who's in the world and meditations which are beyond this world, which are for the transcendentalists, there is a gateway. I tried to explain it to one devotee today, but she didn't pick up this point. So I have to understand, I need to make it more clear. There is one avatar of Krishna who has appeared in this world and who has performed leelas, pastimes, that are very honest, very dharmic, very truthful, very understandable, at least most of them, which are not so transrational as the activities of our Krishna in the transcendental domain, no? And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And our Gora meditations are meant to give us the access to this gateway where we can go, we souls of this world can go and find, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we find ourselves in Krishna Leela. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, with this idea, has written a meditational guide. It is here, it's called Sri Gauranga Leelamrita, the Nectarian Pastimes of the Golden Avatar, where he has given concrete images for meditating about Lord Chaitanya and then slipping or falling into Krishna Leela. And today we will see how this works by through something which is very familiar to you in your tradition. It will be a song. You like to all sing. I know this. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said, his pastimes of Gaura Leela, Gaura's pastimes should be remembered by meditative devotees before they remember the pastimes of Sri Krishna, the moon over Gokula. If someone lovingly reads or recites the Lord's eternal daily pastimes as they are illuminated in these 10 verses of this prayer, then the Lord becomes immensely pleased with that person and by his own merciful compassion. Thus I meditate daily about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So what is happening here? Well, the Lord becomes pleased, and when he is pleased, he does usually two things. He takes the obstacles away from the devotees who want to reach him. He helps them. Yes, 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 I help you. And when the Lord is pleased, he lets us taste a little of his sweetness, so that we will be able to say, thank you, Maya, you have nothing to offer in comparison. You may go this way, I go that way. Yes, these are the two ways in which the Lord shows mercy to us in the material world. There are other ways as well. So, okay, we have meditated last time about the period number 3, which ends at 10:48 a.m. Now, without any further hesitation, we will enthusiastically step in the period number 4, that is the midday pastimes that take place between 10:48 and 3:36. Let me check if I read. Yes! I want to read this or sing this in Sanskrit for your pleasure. Madhyane sahataisvapa shadaganai Sankirtayati drisham sadvetendu gadadara kilasa shilavaduta prabhu arame mridumarutai shishiritaye bringadvijanadite svam vrindavipinam smaram brahmatiyas tam goramatyem yaham. Doing the midday period, Lord Chaitanya continues to enjoy the performance of intensely enthusiastic chanting and dancing. So Mahaprabhu continues right there with an ecstatic Harinam Sankirtan. He's surrounded by his own dear devotees, such as the moon-like Advaita Acharya. Please say the name, it will make you enthusiastic. Advaita Gadadha Pandit. And the divine madman Srila Nityananda Avadhuta Prabhu.
Srila Nityananda Avadhuta Prabhu.
Yes, there is a. He's so ecstatic that we have no other words for him from this world than calling him an avaduta, a person beyond the rules which ordinary human beings observe. Afterwards, they all wander throughout the gardens and groves on the bank of the Ganga, where they enjoy the sweet cooling breezes blowing over the river. So they go through the garden, and groves meets in the forest, the trees stand by each other and form a cluster, sometimes an enclosement, you know. There is a sweet cooling breeze blowing over from the river. Which river? Ganga, yes. Hearing the pleasant sounds of the bumblebees and birds in those gardens, the Lord remembers his own ecstatic pastimes as Radha and Krishna, which are occurring simultaneously in his own forest of Vrindavan. I meditate thus on the daily pastimes of Sri Gaura. This is one of the few times in which we hear how this meditation works. Lord Chaitanya, while doing various pastimes, we will hear this, all of a sudden slips or falls or moves into another dimension where he is engaged as in a loving exchange with Radha and the Srimati Radharani. No? Thus, I meditate on the daily pastimes of Sri Gaura. You will do this, or we will do this today. So that you get the idea. Perhaps you have the idea. I heard there are many very practiced devotees on this call, so I assume many of you have had a taste, but it's nice to you know, do that together and check if our process is if we can learn something to add to our process. So whenever you meditate about Gaura or Krishna, you are trying to create a meditative environment in which he feels satisfied to arrive. In other words, you make your heart a suitable place for the Lord to come. You wouldn't, for instance, meditate about Krishna the way the yogis meditate about Paramatma. They will meditatively have a fire arise in their heart which burns away their own contaminations. The devotee says, how can you do this? This will be very hard for Krishna. Don't only think about you and your stuff and what you want to do. Think about Krishna. This is bhakti, no? Devotion. So when meditating about both Gaura or Krishna, you prefer to put first a meditation in your heart, where you put either the forest of Vrindavan into your heart or the landscape of Navadvipa. And this is done in this meditation. Gaura comes in the noontime. When did this period start? 1048, someone says, yes, or I heard at least. That's a little around 11 o'clock. He comes to a vast flower garden. His eyes are slightly tinged red because he's overwhelmed with loving emotions. And as he looks on the flower garden, he sees four huge kadamba trees posted in the four directions of east, west, and everything else. And he sees also something that is around the kadamba forest. That means surrounding this whole idea is thorny bushes. I heard they are called screw pine bushes, but I couldn't see the translation into German. They're very thorny. So if materialists pass this protected area of meditation, they will not go there. This is always very important in the higher or more advanced subjects. You have to enter this, as my godbrother said, on your belly, you know, very humbly, in a loving submission, in a liebevollen Ergebenheit. If you come with your material perspectives there, you just can't enter. This many devotees in our movement experience, they have not taken care enough of their inner cultivation, therefore they just do not feel attracted to hearing about Krishna, although they want to feel attracted. But it is, as one of our friends in Vrindavan said, entry only on permission, you know. What is it? Without permission, no. What? Without permission, no admission. He says like this, one friend who is always saying, without permission, no admission. He knows a little English, so these words he has learned. So also here, there are thorny bushes, so that common people will remain at a distance. This, of course, can be understood on many levels. I like to understand it is let your material awareness or consciousness stay outside. We are now entering a protected, sweet area. Huh? So, in the four directions, so there are Madhavi and Malati plants, this Yasmin, they belong to the Yasmin family. That means they smell very nicely. In Germany, we know gardenias. They have this fragrance. They belong also to the Yasmin family. Then there are yellow Mongolia flower. There are red flame trees. Don't ask me what that is. It looks apparently like a red flame, very colorful. Dark tamal trees with golden creepers who wind around them. Just imagine the dark tree and a luminous golden light. It almost looks like in Vrindavan you see these light decorations nowadays. Some of them look a little kitschy, but this looks really nice. And flowering mango trees, and my dear devotees, there's a fragrance of Malati, Juti, and Madika, what is it? Malika flowers. Some of these flowers, to translate in your language, are called Queen of the Night, because they are like queens of the night. They're very nice flowers. There are four paths. They're made of jewels, and they go through this interior garden, which is full of these flower-bearing trees and fruit-bearing trees. And they lead you to various small altars which are surrounded in that sacred space, or which are posted in this sacred space. Now, if you follow them, you will see a rim of an assembly of coconut trees. They seem to protect something. And then banana trees. You see date palms, oranges, plums, and pomegranates. This is all fruit-bearing trees with branches bending down. And what you can see is that Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, moves through this area, and the trees seem to offer their fruits to the lotus feet of the Lord. So if you receive a guest, and when you receive a guest at the home, you will perhaps present him with homemade pralines. We visited one home recently, and we were presented with homemade pralines. So these flower-bearing trees present their fruits to the Lord. And in the center, now it gets interesting, in the center, in these banana groves, where these ripe bananas, there is a lonely temple. It's a beautiful temple. Now, we will visit the temple in a moment, but before the temple is a lake with very crystal clear water. There are steps from crystals that lead into this lake. Let us get some more information about the lake. Around the lake are shade giving trees, but also flower beds who throw their flower pollens into the lake. There are groups of fishes, and many water birds like herons, raya, storks, and royal swans swimming there. And it is discussed that there are lotus flowers of four colors: red, white, blue, and yellow. These are the four colors of the tree. These lotus flowers are shaking because there's a constant cool breeze, and those who look very clearly have to laugh because the bees try to land on the lotus flowers and drink the honey, but the lotus flowers, they are shaking back and forth so that no bees can land and get the honey. They have the honey for someone else, you know. They're just hesitating to give their honey. So let's now leave the lake. There are male and female water birds who leave the lake and walk before the temple. I have to take my notes here. And there are parrots who see the ripe bimba berries and pick them with their beak. As we approach the temple, there are 12 gates which are supported by reddish golden pillars. You can see there's a whole architecture now, which because you're the meditative devotee will have to construct the temple and the heart, no? And there are garlands around these arches. They smell very much. And outside the temple, there are deers which have big eyes, and they graze before the temple. And then they look inside the temple, because there's a golden altar. And as they look inside, their eyes open wide with astonishment. Because on the altar, they see a golden personality with a golden complexion. A peacock alights from a Mongolia tree and calls out, "Gola, Gola!
Gola, Gola!"
Yes, he calls out a little bit more lovingly, "Gola, Gola!
Gola, Gola!"
Wonderful. And he begins to dance in great happiness as he, like the deer, looks through one courtyard, the eastern courtyard, which is filled with tulsi flowers, and looks right into the innermost sanctum of the temple, where there is a golden personality. It's very interesting. The Chandogya Upanishad describes this scene. It says, within that golden abode, is the Lord who has a golden effulgence and also golden effulgent hair. He is effulgent indeed from head to foot. His eyes are like the petals of a lotus which opens in the morning sun. He is transcendental, beyond all sins. He who knows this Lord also becomes free from all sins. At that time, female and male parrots call out a prayer. Jai Shri Sachinandana!
Jai Shri Sachinandana!
Glory to the life and soul of Narahari and Gadadhar. Listen very carefully. They are more learned than the Indologists in the Berlin University. They describe these parents. Glory, glory to He who has manifested all these desire-fulfilling trees. Glory, glory to Radha and Krishna, who have united in one form. And then they make a philosophical observation. Every single Brajavasi of Vrindavan has come and descended to Navadvip to perform pastimes that unlimitedly increase their prema. Just see what they have. How they describe Lord Chaitanya. They describe Lord Chaitanya as the Lord who has descended, not alone, but with Sudam, with Shridam, with Madhumangal, with Lalita, Vishaka, and so on. And all these have taken different personalities. My dear devotees, I have seen in holy dharms that sometimes the persons who look at you, whom you see, whom you can photograph with your camera, have turned into other beings. They have what you see in films where people turn into something else. That is an that is taken from what is happening in the spiritual dimension. Great saints often take disguises so that you can't, an ordinary person may not see them. Therefore, the recommendation when we are in Vrindavan and in Navadvip is to be very careful with each single resident, and to, because you never know who's there, who is before your eyes. There is much more going on than what you see, and often it has been seen that, for instance, trees all of a sudden show that they are not just trees. This is very famous story which happened just a few years ago, that one Baba took shelter in a tree, in a hollow tree, and was chanting Hare Krishna in the night, and he was moved by his tears and so on. And all of a sudden he hears a voice, "Why don't you show him what he wants to see? He doesn't see anyone, it's night." "No, I'm serious. Why don't you show him what he wants to see?" The Baba in the meantime is continued to chant, "I'm just hallucinating." Then all of a sudden, he sits in the hollow of the tree, his tree speaks, "I don't think it's the time yet. I'm sitting in a speaking tree." Then he hears from outside, "No, no, 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 no. Radha said anyone who comes to Vrindavan will have his dreams fulfilled." Then says the other tree, "You show him." And all of a sudden the Baba, this is how he describes, one peacock lands, boom, another peacock lands, boom, another peacock lands, boom, boom, and they form a half circle and they say, "Keiko," in the night, that's quite loud. And in a blink of a moment, he sees Krishna standing in that half circle. The desire trees are not just trees, they are wish-fulfilling trees. And the peacocks are not just dumb animals with beautiful tail feathers, they are very powerful sadhus. So, yes, so here the parrots begin to speak about Radha and Krishna. We want to sing with you a song about Radha and Krishna. Maybe, Gauri, you can distribute the things. We don't have so many. You will have two left to look in one place, and we will sing quickly. This is now what's going on in Krishna Leela, what we will sing. Thank you.
So here, this is the Lila Kirtan for this period of the day. Devotees who remember Krishna and do so in song, they will say, I remember Krishna and they meet in Radhakund. They're decorated by their ecstatic responses. You know, they see each other and they, wow, how wonderful Krishna looks. How wonderful Radha looks. They go through a multitude of emotions. Radha and Krishna go through a multitude of emotions. As Radha resists Krishna's eager advances, they come together, express their love in words. They swing on a swing. Radha and the Sakis steal Krishna's flute. Then they drink honey. And as we know, they become drunken with that honey and talk in incoherent ways. And then Radha goes, leaves Radhakund to worship the sun god. They play in the water. They have picnic in the woods. They pretend to sleep. Only pretend. Mm-hmm. Krishna will put a soft garment over him and the gopis then come close. He's asleep, isn't he? Yes, yes, he's asleep. And then they talk about him and Krishna smiles while he hears them. And they wander through the forest enjoying its beauty. Radha and Krishna engage in these and many other joyous pastimes, all the while surrounded and served by their intimate associates. So Lord Chaitanya relives all this. When Lord Chaitanya hears the statements by the parrots, he remembers the lilas of Radha and Krishna at Radhakund. And he calls out in one moment, who has stolen my flute? He's Krishna. He's now in the Vrindavan area. He's no longer in his awareness in Vrindavan, in Navadvip. The next moment he says, just see, I have defeated you all at dice. The next moment he says, let there be water sports in the Kunda. And all the devotees who are around him and hear this, they shout Jai, because they are also in this bhava. Let's go now to the place of Surya Puja. And the next moment he starts to walk holding Gadadhara's hand. And together with Gadadhara he passes under the trees, under the shade. Who is Gadadhara in this pastime?
Srimati Radharani.
Yeah. They are not in their Navadvip identities at this moment. No? Therefore, it is very nice. The devotees look at the Lord and they adorn him with flower armlets, with necklaces, with hair ties. They arrange his hair. Krishna's favorite hair dress, I do know, I've heard, is that the hair is taken up and bound together in a bun. And then there's a pearl necklace around this bun, and then a peacock feather. Yeah. The sweetness of the forest is equal to that of Vrindavan. The devotees throw flower petals and they make a very nice kirtan, but they use different instruments. Yes, they use the madanga, because the madanga is necessary in Krishna's pastime as the flute. It's the flute there, and here it is the madanga drum. But they also play veenas for their kirtans. And they dance, they make rhythms with their hands. It is impossible to describe these limitless forest pastimes, my dear devotees. Therefore, it is best to meditate about them. Please play that melody. I will just bring you in your meditation to one verse which we will use. Afterwards, they all wander throughout the gardens and groves which are there on the banks of the Ganga, where they enjoy the sweet cooling breezes blowing over the river, hearing the pleasant sounds of the bumblebees and birds in those gardens. The Lord remembers his own ecstatic pastimes as Radha and Krishna, which are occurring at the same time in his own forest of Vrindavan. I meditate thus on the daily pastimes of Lord Gauranga. And now go a step deeper. See in your heart a golden abode. There is the Lord who has a golden effulgence He has golden, effulgent hair. From head to foot, there's this golden light surrounding him. His eyes are like the petals of a lotus opening in the morning sun. He's transcendental. He's beyond all sins. One who meditates about this Lord and knows this Lord becomes free from all sins. Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
About these very dear subjects, because I always need the encouragement of the devotees. I need to feel that they are interested in this. But you were such a wonderful audience that you were helping me to overcome my initial skepticism, and I'm very grateful to you. I always think when we meet together for Krishna Katha or Gaura Katha, we all create together in a space, a sacred space, in which all of us on our own can make the discoveries which are just perfect or adequate at this moment. I want to end here. Tomorrow, as you all know, we celebrate the Ratha Yatra festival. And it's a festival which is very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can go right into the spirit of Lord Chaitanya, who, when he saw Lord Jagannath, he also changed. He saw in his internal consciousness Krishna often performing his pastimes in Vrindavan. So, with Lord Jagannath's mercy, who comes out from the temple into the streets and our lives, so to say, if you so want, we can perhaps obtain some mercy to go further on this exquisite path of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much to my audience on the online media who have seen this now or who will see it in the future. I greatly value your presence, and in some ways one can see or one can feel the electric presence of Hari Shyam and others who I know are there. All the best, and Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, everyone.